This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
High and inside, arching music, a little chin music, take that hit for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Alf, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Do we have bona fide, you know, closers or setup men? We don't, but we're deploying, you know, the arms in the bullpen to put us in the best position to win that ball game. Sometimes we'll utilize an arm to help us, you know, in the sixth or seventh inning where the ninth inning comes, and perhaps, you know, it's not a great matchup, but that's how we approach the game that night.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Beautiful Saturday morning, getting ready for another game in the Crosstown Series. It's the second of a three-game set at Wrigley Field. In the afternoon, coverage begins right here on The Score, 1245. Pat and Ron, first pitch at 120 on this station and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. You heard from Chris Getz. We're playing a little chin music. And Chris Getz said, very honestly, very openly, Bruce, who needs a closer? They don't have a closer. Not worried about a closer. Got to get a lead in the ninth inning to need a closer, Bruce. What'd you think about Chris Getz's words about the closer? Oh, we lost Bruce? All right, we lost Bruce. We're going to reconnect with Bruce. He'll be connecting with us. Chris Getz talking about the White Sox closer issue is something that piqued Bruce's curiosity and also opened up some ears, because the Sox have not been in a position to necessarily need a relief pitcher in the ninth inning. Getting the final three outs isn't as big of a priority for a team that is not necessarily going to be in contention, a team that isn't necessarily to have a lot of leads in the ninth inning. And they have tried a variety of guys in that role. And it doesn't seem to be a priority for a team that has had tremendous, don't want to overstate that, not tremendous starting pitching. Starting pitching has been the strength, but the bullpen has been in a state of flux. So we don't necessarily have to worry about a closer. And if you're Chris Getz, it's of a lesser concern. Are we reconnecting with Bruce? Bruce, your impression of what Chris Getz had to say about the closer situation.
Well, I think it was very honest, but it's kind of rough to hear the idea that, you know, Will Venable needs those pitchers to keep that game going right now in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning, and can't really worry about closers when, you know, they're trying to patch the game together after a good start that's only five or six innings by the starting pitcher. Again, I can't say the White Sox haven't thought this out, But I can say that the obvious is here, and that is the number one thing is to develop this, the young pitchers, start them, get them out there, and then let's see what happens. Because, again, it's a team that's a year away from being an expansion team, okay? Mm-hmm. Starting the whole organization over again, all new players, and not getting very many veterans to help out with that. So I think that if you're looking at the White Sox honestly, you're saying, hey, guess what? We don't need a closer very often. I think the first 30 games, they only need a closer. They only needed a closer a few times. They only had two saves. They had a few blown opportunities. But the reality was is that they were in close games. A lot of them were tie games. The closer was the last thing on their mind for this team right now. And it's just the state of the White Sox at this moment.
Yeah, sad but true. And I think now they're shuttling people in and out of the bullpen because of ineffectiveness and also because of injury, which was yesterday's situation. Unfortunately, now Tyler Gilbert goes on the 15-day IL. They bring back Jared Schuster, who's been on the shuttle between the Chicago and Charlotte before. They go out and they make a trade for Miguel Castro from the Astros. He'll play some sort of role. We got a look at him yesterday. So the White Sox don't necessarily have any established roles for their bullpen pitchers. But, Bruce, I did find it interesting in that context. To me, in the organization, some of the biggest news of the week came down in Birmingham, where Grant Taylor, who had been developed as a starter, drafted as a starter, Paul Skeens' teammate at LSU, he's got nasty stuff. He's got swing and miss stuff. He was converted or is being tried as a relief pitcher now, maybe groomed as a future closer. Is that too early to make that assumption or maybe make that projection?
Well, I guess it's too early because he had to come out of the game with an injury yesterday. So he had knee soreness.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. I did not know that, Bruce.
Yeah, he had to come out of the game. But he does have kind of the stuff. And he's a veteran pitcher, you know. He's not 21; he's 31.
Oh, wait, no. I'm okay. I'm talking about Grant Taylor. I'm sorry.
Oh, Grant Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Grant Taylor is the guy that is a future closer. Yeah,
okay.
Grant Taylor didn't get hurt.
Bad.
Did he?
I'm talking about Tyler Gilbert.
Yeah, Tyler Gilbert. Yeah, he got hurt. We saw that happen, and that was unfortunate. Yeah. But I don't think that the White Sox have too much hope invested in him in the future. Opposite is true with Grant Taylor in Birmingham.
Yeah. No, that might be your guy. I think he's got the type of stuff, and they're working on that. I don't know if they feel he's ready, but why not at some point here? I think the great news is that, you know, the Chicago White Sox have been playing some really good baseball, winning two series in a row before they showed up at Wrigley Field. And now the light goes on because people like myself will be asking Venable and asking Chris Getz about a closer when the first 40 games it did come up.
You know, I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good thing because the White Sox are playing, you know, forget about yesterday's game because it was an ugly game all the way around for the White Sox. Defensively, they've played pretty good baseball. They've been in tremendous amount of games, a lot of one-run games. Now, you know, is it turning for them? Are they going to be a team that wins 60 to 65 games this year? Is that the kind of bad that they're going to be this year? Are they just going to be conventional bad on their way to better places? I think that's what we watch with the Chicago White Sox from this point on.
Our friend James Fox texts in that Peyton Pallett is the closer in waiting at Double A, been good for Birmingham as well. There are some names in the organization perhaps that will come to mind. Maybe some guys that when the Sox are in a position to win more than 60 or 65 games, they're ready to emerge and play that role as well. Bruce, 60 to 65 victories would be almost a 20-win improvement over last season. I don't know that I want to fall for that trap. I was singing the Sox praises earlier this week when they were 500 or actually over 500 in the month of May, and I think they maybe have lost three in a row since. So I'm kind of like tapping the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, comparing the last season to this season, I just see better product. I don't see always better results.
More watchable. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And the young pitching is something that's encouraging, you know, about the White Sox, because they have ability to be really good. Now, here's what we don't know. We don't know how the bullpen's going to hold up. We don't know if there's going to be a closer. And we also don't know when they're going to want to shut down some of the young pitchers, right? Are they going to want them to go 150, 175 innings or not?
Already they're adjusting Hagen Smith's workload at Birmingham.
Right. So, you know, again, when James Fox calls in and he says, you know, the guys or texts you and lets you know the guy at AA is doing this, where does development come in before actual winning here this year in Chicago? Now, fans do not want to hear that the White Sox don't want to win as many games as they can this year. They do, but not to the point where they're going to sacrifice young player development to rush them up to the major leagues to make David Haugh and Bruce Levine and the fan base happy with the fact that, oh, yeah, they have a closer here. They're going to develop him at the major league level. It can be done. It might be done, but it's going to be on their timetable when they think these young pitchers are ready.
Well, the best thing about the Sox organization are the players in the minor leagues right now. And that is sad but true, which is why everybody wants to be in a hurry to get them up as quickly as possible. You say Grant Taylor. We mentioned Hagen Smith, Noah Schultz. And we also, at some point in time this summer, as he continues to hit, people are going to ask, maybe on this station, maybe this hour, maybe today, when's Braden Montgomery going to get to Chicago, Bruce? How soon can he get here?
You know, I think probably Monday morning for Mully and Haas starting off would be the right time.
But,
right?
But that he
we're
going
to have to get Mike to predict when he's going to be here.
No, yeah, right, yeah. Swami, he's had a couple good predictions lately, and it's been fun. But it is fun to see guys like that having success in the minor league levels. You just have to try to be patient and remind yourself those you know, nothing is guaranteed, but when you have a prospect like Braden Montgomery who's tearing it up at the high A, you do start to wonder how quickly his ascent will be.
Yeah. You know, again, I think the savvy of baseball fans now about what's down there for all the organizations is a great thing. The education process is there, but the predictability for players to come up and actually be ready to play and be good major leaguers, you know, still not there. I don't know, even the experts, you know, the Jim Callises, who's the creme de la creme of people who look at and project minor leaguers. It's an impossibility to know when the Matt Shaws or the Colson Montgomery's are going to be ready to play in the major league level.
312-644-6767. What do you think about we're talking about the development plan for the White Sox, whether it's a closer, an outfielder, or your favorite starting pitcher? Let's go out to the phone lines. Start with Kendall. Kendall, welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you this morning?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Bruce, you suggested that White Sox fans don't want to sacrifice wins for player development. All we care about, I think I speak for most White Sox fans, all we care about is player development. I don't care if they don't win another game this season. That's why having Andrew Vaughn on the team is so frustrating, because the guy is an albatross. He's had 5 years to prove himself. He cannot. But I want the number one pick this year, and because Colorado can't have it, I want the White Sox to develop players to the best of their ability and lose as many games as possible.
Thanks for the phone call, Kendall.
I get it.
By the way, Bruce, whatever happened to Tim Elko?
Do you really think he talks for all Sox fans?
I don't think anybody can speak for all Sox fans.
I don't think anyone would be happy losing all the games the rest of
the year. They already did that last year. They just want to see they want to see some hope. But I think they want to see signs of life in the organization.
I do agree with his philosophy, and I think that all good Sox fans agree with the philosophy of, hey, we want all as many good players as we can get in this organization. It's got to happen, you know, over the next couple of years. As an organization, you're just going to have to wear it at the major league level again this year. We all know when we're baseball fans, we can see talent in front of us. We see it with the starting rotation. We're not seeing a lot of it in the position players that are up here right now. That's difficult. The Caros have shown some nice promise. Mydroth certainly looks like a dirty uniform type guy the White Sox fans can relate to.
I like that description.
Yeah, I mean, he's that kind of guy, you know. But again, falling in love with your players, which is what fan bases want to do, difficult right now.
Bruce, Tim Elko, a week ago, we were excited about his debut. He hit a home run.
What's this we?
Okay, let me rephrase that. Tim Elko came up a week ago, and I gave him a nickname, Big Timber. And I wanted to see him in the lineup every single day. He hit a home run in his second game. I thought that was, oh, I'm going to look pretty good here because I wanted to see him and he hits a home run. Since that point, not very good. Do the White Sox, have they lost a little confidence here? Steve Stone told us on the Mullinghall Show he has to adjust to the adjustments because once you're up here, even for a short period of time, teams will start pitching you differently once they find a weakness to exploit. Is Tim Elko going to be with the Sox for much longer?
I have no idea. All I can tell you is swing and miss is something that's a part of his game. Mm-hmm. If you put him in and he plays the entire year, let's say at first base or DH, okay? Mm-hmm. From this point on, and he gets, let's say, 450 at-bats, he's liable to run into 25 home runs, okay? But he's also liable to strike out 175 times, okay? So if you're willing to live with that kind of player at a position, you know, maybe Elko is your guy.
So you're telling me to lay off the nicknames?
Let him earn the nicknames.
But Bruce is sitting there waiting for just to be used. Big Timber, you're welcome, Brooks Boyer. I mean, come on. If the guy can hit 20 home runs, he's Big Timber.
Yeah, they're printing up the shirts right now.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Owen is in Willowbrook. Owen, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, guys. You know, 70 years old, I was an avid Sox fan, except for the last few years. Lost a lot of interest. But I can still say I kind of look every now and then. And just a couple observations. Venable, you know, he's a rookie manager, managing in Wrigley. Pulling in the infield in the second inning when the wind's blowing out. And then the other thing is, you guys talked about Vargas and making the adjustments. And they even sent Montgomery to Arizona to work on his batting. Mm-hmm. Why did they ever do that with Roberts or Vaughn? I mean, Roberts has been swinging his sliders in the dirt for the last 4 years. Vaughn, no improvement. And I don't understand that thinking with this team. And I think somebody called earlier. I mean, they want to give up on Elko so early, maybe. But why would you stick with those guys for 4 or 5 years and then say, okay, we're done with Elko? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Owen, that's a good phone call. Fair question. Colson Montgomery, by the way, after his 2 weeks at the Camelback Spa in Glendale, has come back and he hit a couple doubles the other night, Bruce. He looks like he's made some swing adjustments, and he might be back on the right track. So maybe if that works with Colson Montgomery, they'll consider it with other prospects. They're not going to do that with major league players.
So I did ask that question yesterday to Chris Getz, and I said, with the modern player, is this more of what you and other teams should do? And that is, give them the timeout, okay? Timeout from, because you're not getting it done, let's come up with a different form of player development. We're taking you out of the environment. We're bringing you in with a hitting coach, and you're going to work on certain things by yourself for 2 or 3 days. Now, you can't do it with every player that you have in an organization, but you can identify an important player like Colson Montgomery and say, you know, he's only going to get worse. The mentality is going to be worse for him as well if we send him to Birmingham. So why send him down? We can just laterally take him to Arizona with us, give him some time with our top hitting person, and then let him move and emerge back in. I think, you know, again, time off for players during a season, it's not something that anybody really can warm up to when I ask that question. But I think, you know, like a summer weekend vacation for players during a season.
Not a bad idea.
It isn't. I mean, most teams will say, well, that's ludicrous. So we can't afford it.
How about talk show hosts? How about reporters?
You don't get any time off, my friend.
Bruce, before we break, I want to ask you how this maybe connects to what we're seeing with the Cubs, because I think when you see the two teams playing each other, and we always compare and contrast, but you talk about player development, they've got some really good examples. We talked about PCA going down last year to Iowa. A year later, he's an MVP candidate. Matt Shaw's in the midst of that now. You look at the way Miguel Amaya has progressed and developed. The pitchers, though, the pitchers, and you talk about grooming closers. Daniel Palencia is somebody I think has closer stuff. And I wonder, where are they in his progress in terms of developing him into a closer? And has that been intentional and by design?
Well, I think so. I think Palencia is a big key for the Chicago Cubs to develop over this next month or so. And again, I brought up the last time they really had a successful in-organization guy to come up and really make an impact, I would say, was Carlos Marmol.
Former catcher.
And identified as, well, he can't hit. Let's make him into a pitcher. They made him into a relief pitcher that turned out to be really, really good. You know, and the idea that he was the last real closer bullpen guy they developed in the system. I think, you know, you pay attention right now to what's going on with Palencia, who's throwing an easy, okay, when I say an easy 100, okay? When it comes out of his hand, all of a sudden you look up and you go, he's just consistently throwing 100, and there doesn't seem to be any laboring going on with that. When you look at that and then you try to see what they're trying to do with the breaking ball to add to that so he can throw that early in a count and establish himself, that might be your future closer.
Wow. That would really be something. I mean, Carlos Marmol for a couple seasons, he had back-to-back 38 saves in 2010, 34 in 2011. Pretty reliable relief pitcher. Is Daniel Palencia consistent enough to expect that?
You know, you have to develop somebody along the way, you know, as a bullpen guy. I mean, you know, you thought you had it going, and, you know, you had an injured pitcher. Last year, he eventually goes on the IL, you know, and is lost for a year at least. Then is lost from the system because they don't give him a contract. You know, he's DFA'd. So, you know, these things can come and go. But I think he has a type of arm. Now they're working on the mentality of getting him to feel very confident along the way.
I'll ask you the same question before we break. One for both teams. If the Sox have a one-run lead in the ninth inning today, who gets the baseball? And if the Cubs, the same question, have a one-run lead today in the ninth inning, who gets the baseball?
I think it's Leisure for the White Sox.
Okay.
And for the Cubs, I'm going to go with Porter Hodge.
But yeah. I think it was interesting to hear Tommy Hotovy on Friday morning on the Mullin Haw Show not necessarily commit to a closer, talk about how it still made it sound like a committee, and be very, very calmly just describe the thought process going into the season, going into the ninth inning, and it made it sound like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. So I think Porter Hodge would get the ball today, but I don't know that there necessarily makes him the closer every time out. I think situations will call for different guys.
Yeah, are you ready for Presley to come back in
there? No. Are you?
They might.
Are they?
No. They might be.
No.
You know, again.
I think, you know, Tom, I think with Tommy Hotovy, I don't want to call. No, we don't want to go back to. I'm not doing any more nicknames. Tyler Farrengold wants me to call him Ryan Stressley. He really does. He wants me to do that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I think Ryan Pressley's season, after talking to Tommy Hotovy, it's going to take some time for him maybe to get back to the point where he was, and I think you got to be patient with that. So I think you're right. Porter Hodges has got to step forward, take command, and be that guy they can trust in the ninth inning. Be in that circle of trust. It's not a very big circle right now, but
when we come back, David, I think we're going to go South Siding and bring in a guy that's playing a lot of good middle infield for the team.
Dirty uniform guy, as Bruce called him. Chase Mydroth, hopefully, will join us next inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock. Trying to connect with Chase Mydroth. He's working hard, though, getting ready for today's matchup against Matthew Boyd. Maybe taking a little extra BP. Who knows? They got to be ready, Bruce. Matthew Boyd's going to be firing BBs. He's having a very good year. Sean Burke opposes him. First pitch, 120 pregame right here on the Score, 12:45. Which way is the wind blowing at Wrigley today?
Yeah, I don't know. Not over there yet, but it's going to be interesting. We know the weather changes every second here now, right? It's cold. It's warm. Next week's going to be in the 50s, right? So get your winter coat out again.
Could ask you a question the Cub fans are kind of dreading to address, but what's wrong with Kyle Tucker? Is that a fair question or not?
Okay, so Kyle Tucker, 224, three homers, seven RBIs the last 15 games. The last seven games, 5 for 28, one homer, two RBIs. Does he need the 2 days off in a row? Okay. He's played every single game, two of them as DH. Does he need to DH a few more times, or because of the injury to Hap, does Council not have that luxury?
It's a good idea. They don't have that luxury. Ian Hap's hurt. He comes back Tuesday in Miami, though. He told us right here on the Midday Show. He's coming back Tuesday, Bruce. If Ian Hap's back Tuesday, maybe you can rest Kyle Tucker, but not yet. Not now. I'm not worried. Kyle Tucker's going to be fine. Kyle Tucker's going to be fine. You might be able to get him lower at a lower price if he struggles a little bit longer. This is about when you might want to open negotiations.
I'm glad you're not my agent.
All right, let's switch gears. We're going to go out to Wrigley Field, and we're going to, our next guest joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. The White Sox infielder Chase Mydroth joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Chase, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So how was yesterday's experience at Wrigley Field? I know it didn't go your way, 13-3. It was a tough one. Just the conditions, just the experience for your first foray into Cubs versus Sox in Chicago, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it was super fun. You know, that stadium was, it was my first time, so it was really cool being out there. But, you know, it was a very competitive game, and yeah, I could feel the energy between the crosstown, so it was really fun. I'm looking forward to, you know, the rest of the weekend.
Chase, before you came on, you know, I called you the dirty uniform guy with all the respect in the world, you know, and you know, when I first started watching you play, it's just, you know, the energy you bring, the line drive stuff that you hit the ball where it's pitched, not afraid to steal a base, not afraid to go first to third. Is there any style of player that you emulate when you played your game, or is this just a part of what your ability is all about and how you've established yourself as a professional?
You know, I'm growing up, I looked up to a lot of guys. Some guys were Justin Turner and Dustin Pedroia, were two guys that I really liked watching play. So as I've kind of gotten older, I've tried to like grab things from other people's games that I like and try to put it into my own and, you know, create the best version of myself is how I've always seen it. And then, yeah, you know, since a little kid, my dad was always like, he always preached having like the dirtiest infield on, or dirtiest jersey on the team after the day ends. So, you know, means you worked hard today. Means it was a good day if your jersey's dirty. So,
Chase, I know you know this, but in the opposite dugout today, Justin Turner is wearing a Cub uniform. Would you find him before the game? Have you done that? Is that something that's on your list?
I'm not. You know, I talked to him a little when he was back in Boston when I was coming up over there, so that was cool. But no, he's an awesome player. So, yeah, I know we're both getting ready for the game today, so it's a little tough, but yeah.
Chase, the distancing that you and the other players from the White Sox have to do from that season last year, and you coming over from another organization, how have you embraced being a Chicago White Sox player, White Sox fans, and establishing your own, with your group, a new tradition for Chicago White Sox baseball?
Yeah, you know, every year is a new year. There's a lot of new guys in this clubhouse and a lot of, you know, talented guys on the team last year that know what to do to, you know, move forward from there. And so, you know, we got a lot of good veteran presence. And so kind of just taking it day by day and kind of following along them. And, yeah, but this city's easy to play for. It's, you know, coming over here and the fans are amazing. And so it's easy putting on this jersey every day and getting ready to go play.
Talking with Chase Mydroth, the White Sox infielder, who came to Chicago as part of that offseason trade for Garrett Crochet. And Chase, when you before you got here, you were described as an on-base machine, somebody whose approach at the plate guarantees that you're going to be on base more times than not. How would you describe your approach at the plate and what your mindset is before every at bat?
You know, I'm just trying to win each pitch. That's it. As simple as that. I'm trying to get on base for the next guy behind me. You know, I think you kind of like, I've always played it on those teams where the culture is just to pass the torch to the next guy and, you know, base runners and cause chaos. And that's how I find value in scoring runs. And so, you know, that's what I've always tried to do. And yeah.
When we look at the physical tools of a player like yourself, Sometimes as baseball fans, we ignore the mental aspect and the mental toughness it takes to be a major league player and a consistent one. And I go back to spring training where you did everything but stand on your head to win a job coming out of spring training, and they sent you back to the minor leagues. How do you stay mentally strong, get back here, produce right away, knowing that you didn't do anything wrong other than, you know, play great during spring training, but mentally you had to go back to the minor leagues? And how, you know, how do you get your head around moving forward and being mentally strong in this game?
I try to get better, you know, a little bit each day. And so, you know, wherever that is, I had some stuff I still had to work on and keep improving on, and that happens every day. So, you know, this game's fun, and, you know, you can't – it's hard to, like, get into all that stuff. You kind of got to just be where your feet are. I know it's harder said than done, but it's you know, you show up and you try to get better each day wherever you are, and I think if you do that, you're going to end up where you want to be in a few years. So, yeah.
What's it like playing for Will Venable?
Oh, he's awesome. You know, he's very consistent. He keeps the energy good. He keeps the dugout loose. So it's been very easy. He makes the game very easy.
When you see some of your teammates coming along that you learned about in spring training, what are your thoughts about, you know, where they're at starting, you know, the guys like Carroll and yourself starting to make it to the major leagues? How excited should White Sox fans be about some of that young talent that you've seen come along, even though you haven't been here for very long?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a lot of talent, you know, throughout the organization up here, and I think the best part of it is we have a lot of guys that really want to be great and really want to win and really want to, you know, improve in every day, and so it's hard work ethic coming in every day, and, you know, it's all 26 guys we got up here, and all the guys I played with in Charlotte too, where, you know, it's, everybody wants to get better and everybody wants to grow and win. And so I think, you know, that kind of culture that you have is going to be very, very successful for a long period of time.
Before we let you go, Chase, we know you got some pregame duties to attend to, but you have played second, you have played short, you're very versatile. Do you have a spot in the infield that feels more comfortable to you and where you would prefer to stay?
Wherever. I'm comfortable all over.
Good answer. And wish you a lot of luck moving forward. Good luck today against Matthew Boyd. Good luck this weekend and the rest of the season. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Thanks for having me.
Chase Meidroth, the White Sox infielder. Part of that trade, Bruce, that's looking pretty good from the White Sox perspective. Garrett Crochet not doing too poorly either in Boston. One of those deals that benefits both teams. But Chase Meidroth, more impressive probably at the plate than in the field so far. Is that a small sample size? Would you agree?
I just like his approach. You know, he's remember Craig Grebeck?
Yeah.
You know,
going way back.
Sox. Yeah. You know, the little hurt, as
the little hurt
to call him.
Yep.
You know, just the guy you can relate to that has just pushed his way into the minor leagues and refuses, whether he has big talent of no home runs or not the fastest guy, not the greatest defender, just comes up and maybe can have a nice long career as just a guy that does everything right.
Also in the deal was Kyle Teal, and I know the Sox have a surplus of catchers, certainly young ones. Is he on the track to Chicago? We didn't mention him earlier when we were talking about prospects.
I think so, but, you know, there's only so many positions. Development, you know, as the one caller we had earlier is really the important thing. So is it important to get him to the major leagues this year, or is it more important for him to catch 110 games in the minor leagues, continue to be the offensive guy that he is? Is it necessary for him to get here to prove to the front office that he can play here? That's the question I have. In other words, if you like his player development, do you have to rush everybody up here because there are openings, or do you let them just develop?
Speaking of development, Bruce, somebody the Cubs are developing had a very special Friday and celebrated a milestone. We'll talk about that next as we wrap up Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now here comes Moises Ballesteros. And these great fans are going to give him a rousing applause. This is nice. Welcome to Chicago, Moises.
Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. What a nice greeting from Pat Hughes to the 21-year-old lefty, Moises Ballesteros, the hitter brought up from Iowa. Welcome back inside the clubhouse, wrapping things up with Bruce Levine. Bruce, that was a nice moment the other night. Now, it took until yesterday for Moises Ballesteros to get his first major league hit, a special moment for the young man. He drove in two runs. He scored two runs. You can see his approach at the plate, a little anxious, but you can see the sweet swing, Bruce. Will he go back to Iowa when Ian Happ comes back to Chicago? Oh, Bruce, I was so excited. And this is a guy who can hit.
Well, he'll continue to hit.
Okay.
And you're right. Your observation is spot on as far as I'm concerned, that he's been a little nervous and he's been rolling over on balls that he usually drives to the other field, right? Mm-hmm. So, hasn't been striking out, you know, but, again, the grounder to second, you know, the easy ground ball. You know, Council has pointed out, it's probably nerves, and he'll probably get better at it. Again, does he have a position other than DH that he can fall into? And, you know, will there be a spot for him again in 2025? You know, if there is another injury, do you bring him back? Don't know, but, everything points to Moises Ballesteros as being a professional hitter and the guy that's going to hit.
Well, here's the good news.
Position-wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
For Ballesteros fans today, against Sean Burke, the righty, he is in the lineup. PCA leading off, where he did pretty well yesterday. Tucker second, Suzuki third, Michael Bush cleanup, Dansby Swanson fifth, Moises Ballesteros sixth, Nico batting seventh, Amaya eighth, Vidal Brujan. Interesting. Batting ninth and playing third today. Bruce, what do you think of that?
I think he needs a few at-bats, like the whole bench does. Again, is he playing there, warming it up for Shaw, who might be, do you think he's coming back at the end of this weekend when they make they start on the road again?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I think that that would make some sense. So get him some at-bats. So we'll wait to a word that Matt Shaw could be back on the way to Chicago. Here's the Sox lineup, Bruce. Chase Madroth, after talking to us, he's going to lead off today. So we prepared him well. He's leading off playing short for the Sox. Miguel Vargas batting second, playing third. Edgar Carroll batting third. Catching. Luis Robert Jr., center fielder. Andrew Vaughn DHing and playing DHing and batting fifth. Lenin Sosa playing second. Tim Elko, Big Timber, he's in the lineup today for the White Sox. Joshua Palacios is in right field batting eighth. And then Michael A. Taylor in left field batting ninth. That is the White Sox lineup today against
Boyd. So you have your big Timber playing first base. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Big Timber is playing first base today. I have today the perfect scenario. Tim Elko goes deep. Moises Ballesteros goes deep. First major league home runs for Ballesteros. The second one for Tim Elko. It's going to be a fun day at Wrigley Field. Cubs beat the Sox 7-6.
Okay. All right.
How's that?
All right. We'll bring that back Monday morning, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. Let me ask you this, though, Bruce. When it pertains to Ballesteros, when he first came up, on the first day I think he arrived, Michael Busch did take ground balls at third base. It created quite a stir. Why did the Cubs do that?
I have no idea, because I followed up on that and asked Craig Counsell. He said, you're not likely to see him at third base. He said, if we have to move Michael, he'll be playing second base. Okay, that's a more likely scenario. So I listened to Counsell. You know, he has never led me wrong. He's, I'd say 95% of the time, he answers all of my annoying questions.
Do you think you know him? Do you think you know him more than others?
No, but I think that some of my questions are different, and therefore
direct. They're direct, more direct.
I mean, there's no reason for them not to be. You only have a certain amount of time.
I get
the manager.
It. I think you do a terrific job because you're there every day. There is a rapport you have to establish. He knows what he's getting when you're going to ask a question. You're not going to mess around, and the question is never about you. It's always about what you're trying to get out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, thankfully, on both sides of town, both managers are good communicators, and they're willing to share. I think that Will is learning the process of sharing things without feeling like he's going against his own players when he talks. Mm-hmm. So that's an art form that's developed, right?
Right.
The ability to say things that are tough sometimes, that sound like they're negative to some people, but that this message has already been delivered to the player. And it's not being tough. It's being matter of fact that this is a baseball business and you shouldn't be able to should be afraid to talk about what the truth is, right?
You would know better than I would, Bruce. I think you're exactly right. But Craig Counsell, even though the Cubs are in first place and the White Sox are in last place, I think Craig Counsell probably answers tougher questions on a more regular basis than Will Venable.
He does, yeah. But there's more positive things to talk about, right? So the team is winning. They've been in first place most of the time. There's a different attitude brought in than a manager whose team's in last place having trouble winning.
Expectations.
And the expectations are higher. Right, but you're also defensive about protecting your players, getting the message across to them, not crossing the line of telling media people about some of the negativity that's going on that you talk about with your coaches in the front office, but that you're not going to share with the media because, you know, you're afraid of running down young players or players when they're down to begin with because they're not winning ball games.
Counsell can be edgy. He can be a little edgy. I don't mind that, though. I like that.
I think it's one of his best attributes.
Yeah, I do, too. He's not going to tolerate nonsense. He doesn't have a. It doesn't seem like he's going to mess around. And I don't like the term "suffer fools" because I think that makes a statement that is misinterpreted. But he's one of those guys that does
you.
He will challenge.
I mean, he challenges if he thinks a question that I ask or someone else might ask doesn't have much merit. He's not afraid to challenge you back.
Yeah, well, I know. Sometimes you need that, Bruce. Not going to lie.
Sometimes I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the idea.
Yeah, I know. I'm on the other end of that sometimes, so I get it. Sometimes you need to be challenged. You're not always right, Bruce.
162 games, my friend. A lot of things change.
I know. This was fun today. So we have a lot of people to thank before we get out of here. We want to thank our guests, Colin Ray and Chase Mydroth, for joining us on Seth's Clubhouse. Tyler Farengol, they call him Baby T. He's behind the glass keeping us going, Bruce. And thank you to you for setting this show up, for doing a great job. And you have had a busy week, as every week is during baseball season.
Sox and Cubs, can't wait. Pre-game show with our good friend Zach Zaidman at 12:45. I think our good friend Mr. Rosenblum's coming up next.
No, we got Mark Grody in the house.
Oh, Grody.
Grody's filling in. What a treat. Big special Grody time until 12:45.
A big-timer like him actually working on the weekend?
He works every day, Bruce, making this radio station much better, just as you do. Thanks for doing everything, Bruce. Thank you for listening on Inside the Clubhouse. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Grody is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.